If you have your Bibles this morning, find, if you would, Matthew chapter number 7. Matthew chapter 7 will be our text today. If you are visiting with us, you've joined us on a Sunday morning, we are making our way through this book, and it has been a tremendous blessing, tremendous encouragement as we have watch the Lord Jesus Christ be exalted in our heart and in our mind. We are growing to know Him as our great Redeemer, know Him as our great Savior, not only to know that He's taking care of our eternity, but to know that He walks with us throughout our life on this earth. We find ourselves this morning right in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount. If you remember what Matthew is doing here, Matthew is writing a gospel to his Jewish nation, to his Jewish folks, proclaiming that Jesus was who he said he was, and that he still is who he said he would be. And he's writing and proclaiming Christ as their Messiah. And right at the beginning of his gospel, he is putting in print the wonderful message that the Lord Jesus Christ preached to them, declaring the kingdom of God, defining and describing the characteristics of the kingdom of God and the characteristics of the people of the kingdom of God. And it was a kingdom that they misunderstood. It was a kingdom that they were not ready to receive, but it was one that they needed. And so we have been watching as Matthew is portraying this and presenting to this. And as we dive into this passage of Scripture, we are finding that Jesus Christ is eternal God. Amen. Not only is He eternal God, but He is the great God and our great Savior. And we're finding that we need Him. We're finding how much that He loves us and cares for us. We're finding that the word that He came to preach unto us is truth, it's life, and it's the way to know salvation. And so misunderstood and so rejected was He in the beginning. But as we dig into this, we find that His word is love, and it is what we need to hear. We come to the 7th chapter of the book of Matthew, and it gets a little bit of a bad rep. It gets presented by some of the scholars and some of the Bible teachers that it's kind of like a hodgepodge, and the Lord Jesus is just finishing up this chapter with some, let's just call them some summing up thoughts or some random things. But I have found this: our God is a God of order. He is not a God of randomness. And He does nothing without purpose. He does nothing without planning. He's nothing without just total fulfillment of truth. And so it's not just where the Lord Jesus is randomly giving thoughts. He is driving the citizen of the kingdom of God to a truth. He's driving them to a truth that is just precious beyond measure. And the more I read and study, the more that I find the depth of the truth to be so satisfying, so securing, so needed in my own life. You come to chapter 7, and there is a theme in the chapter, and it begins really verse number 1. You talk about judgment, and we looked at that. And as you go all the way through the chapter of chapter 7, you're going to find that the Lord Jesus is dealing with this theme of judgment. And he's not dealing with it in necessarily eternal judgment or a damnation way. He's dealing with it both from a salvation way, a sanctification way. He's doing it both with what would be expected for eternity and what can be used upon the earth. And He's instructing the child of God in an understanding and in a perception way so that they'll have proper judgment. And I believe in the course of this, He gives in verses 7 to 11 one of the great comprehensive and gracious promises that is in the Bible. I do not believe that there is any more encouraging message to a citizen of the kingdom of God than what you find in verses 7 through 11. I do believe that when we get to verses 7 to 11, you will find answers to life's hardest questions. I do believe that if you will receive this today, and the Spirit of God will enable you to understand, will have the power to change your life. It'll change your thinking. I think it will draw you near to the Lord as opposed to drive you away. The truth that is given is going to be given by the Son. I say the Son, capital S, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's teaching these new believers. He is teaching them truths about the Father. He's teaching them because he understands the transition that has happened in their life. He understands that they've come out of Judaism. They've come out of this mindset and this position over here, and they have trusted him as their Messiah. They have believed upon him. Paul said there has been this translation from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son. And he knows that their lives are being radically changed. They've been created new from the inside out. And they're there with open ears and honest hearts, ready to receive. And the Lord Jesus knows that just in a few days, he's going to go and he's going to die on that cross, and he's going to give his life so that the payment can be made, and that faith that is being deposited in him, the act will be done and there will be salvation. He knows that he'll be 3 days in that ground and then he'll be resurrected. He knows he'll walk the face of the earth for 40 days. And then he knows he's going to be ascended up into heaven, and he will no longer walk physically on the earth. He knows that the Father will send the promise of the Spirit, but he loves these people. And he wants to encourage them with the Heavenly Father. And he gives them a truth that is designed to cause them to love the Father, cause them to trust him, to rest in this earth, to know the security that we have, to know peace, to know strength, to know guidance, to know where they're going, to when everything is chaotic, for them to have the peace of God that passeth all understanding. And yet, I believe that a passage of Scripture that was given to do all of that has been so miscommunicated and taken out of context by the enemy that the passage that was given for us to love the Father has in turn caused a negative response. You could even use the word hatred, you could use the word depression, you could use the word discouragement toward our Heavenly Father. And I have a feeling today that God's people were saved, but we're missing out on so much security and strength and stability in our life because we don't really know the Father. We know him as our Savior. We know him to be that he is our dad. But we don't trust him. We don't trust him. And because of this misunderstanding, God's people are discouraged. We're in despair. We don't believe that God is good, and there's been a twisting to this passage. And I want to help you, and I want to give you four principles today from this passage just to remind you about who we are, about who God is, and what he is in our life. The passage begins at verse number 7. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, what's that word, class? And he that seeketh, what? And to him that knocketh, it shall be what? Ask, seek, knock. Receive, find, and open. This is Jesus teaching one of the great truths to us. Teaching one of the tremendous hope that we have as a child of God. He is teaching these people how to survive. He's teaching them how to be salt and light. He's teaching them if this is the kingdom of God, how it will be influential, how you will be able to sustain living in this world, but being of this world. And he's pouring out his heart in these manners. Problem is, some of the church wants to take these verses and they want to say that God is a liar. He's not good. He doesn't keep his word because, Pastor, I asked him and he didn't give it to me. I've been looking everywhere and I can't find it. And I've been going through doors my whole life and I haven't found an opened one. And so in some aspects, we have read this passage wrong. And we have used this passage in our own want, in our own desires. And because God hasn't given me what I want, somehow God's not good to me. And it's hurting us. It's hurting us. So I want to give you four thoughts today to the child of God that I think will help us change this into a blessing. Number one, what Jesus is teaching here. He's teaching these folks that they are and we are children. We are children. He's teaching them that they are a child and that they are not the parent. He's teaching them authority. There was a day when the parent was in charge in our world, not the child. There was a day that you would say, you're doing this because I am the parent, you are the child. We've lost our parental authority. Now, I want to say a couple of things. You may agree, you may disagree, but I think they're perfect. I'll let you know a little secret. When I'm in your presence and you as a mom or a dad instruct your kid in what to do and your kid in some way responds to you without humbling to your authority, I see that there is a problem in the parent. See, the reason our children in our culture today do not respect authority is because our parents don't respect authority. See, if you're going to have authority, it's because you are under authority. So I get a young couple here and they tell their kid to do something. No! He's just being... He's tired. No, you don't have authority. I see teenage, and I beg God in my own life here, I see teenagers just mock in their parents' face and dismiss that authority and storm and walk away. And I think, oh God, we've missed something. So here's where we're going with this. Now, I don't have my lapel mic, and I think God did this to me on purpose. I got to stay right here. Do you know how hard it is for me to stay right here? Do you notice my voice is not the same? Jesus is teaching these disciples there is an authority above you. You are the child, but there is a heavenly Father. Now, the context is, in verses 1 to 5, he's telling them, don't judge. In verse number 6, he's telling them to judge. In verses 1 to 5, he's telling them, watch that you don't have a critical spirit. But in verse number 6, he's saying, have a discerning spirit. And the whole communication of the Sermon on the Mount is a contrast that goes back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And so he says, when somebody slaps you, turn the cheek. If they want you to carry a coat 1 mile, carry it 2 miles. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And the whole sermon is a paradox as to how somebody behaves in the kingdom of the world and how somebody behaves in the kingdom of God. And so I can see these new believers, they're sitting there and they're thinking, now how in the world am I going to know what to do? How am I going to know when to be critical and deal with that moat? And how am I going to know when to be discerning as to what I give? How am I going to know when to do this? And how am I going to know when to do that? And Jesus said, the way that you know is you ask and you seek and you knock. What is he saying there? He is saying that you as a child need understanding and instruction. And what he is saying along those lines is that the whole Sermon on the Mount is a direction that is incapable from a person apart from Jesus Christ. But we get this so backwards. We, when it comes to God, we kind of try to treat God the same authoritative way that the children are relating to parents today. And we try to be the parent. I asked you to give me a husband. And you didn't give me. I didn't ask that. I asked for a wife. I asked you for a child. And you didn't give me a child. I asked you for a job. You didn't give it to me. I sought you for everything. I've been going through and working to pull myself up by my bootstraps. I've done everything I know to do, and no doors are opening to me. Therefore, you didn't keep your word. And a passage of Scripture that was designed to make us love the Lord with all our heart has now been driving God's people from their Father. Are you with me? See, Jesus is reminding them and us, we are not God. We are not the Father. We are children. Therefore, children need instruction. Children do not know what is good for themselves. That's why he said, lean not on your own. We've got this, we think we can determine good and evil for ourselves. We think that we can live the Christian life without God. Well, I just know what to do. No. Jesus is saying now, listen, you're going to need to ask. Asking means I don't know. You're going to need to seek. It means that it's important to me. And then you're going to need to knock. There's this persistence. And if you're going to know the joy of the Christian life, if you're going to know where to go, if you're going to know how to do it, if you're going to realize the peace of God that passes all understanding, if you're going to walk with me, if you're going to talk with me, if you're going to know those things, you got to realize you're the child, I'm the Father. Number one, we are children. Pastor, that disrespects me. I don't mean to disrespect you. I'm not calling you childish. I'm not saying you're unintelligent. I'm not saying that you're not whatever. But I'm telling you, when I came into a relationship with the Heavenly Father, that's just it. He's the Father. I'm the child. So I entitled this, The Father Knows Best. That's not original. You remember watching that? Yeah, that's back when the televisions were 90 inches deep, not 90 inches across this way. Father knows best. Number two, we are children. God is our Father. Look at verse number 9. Or what man is there of you whom if his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then being evil, he's not causing us evil as far as wickedness. He's just saying if you being a human created, a sinful person that's been saved, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your, what's that word class? Father. How much more shall your Father, now let's make sure we got the right Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him. Number one, we are children. We are not omniscient. We lack understanding. We need instruction. We need direction. Number two, you better remember and praise God that God is our Father. He is a Father. One of the saddest mistakes that Christians are making is we don't know our dad. He's called our dad in the New Testament. Some of you, I meet people all the time, Pastor, I don't know my real dad. I have no idea who he is. And my heart breaks for that, but God will send them a man that will be their dad as far as that. But there's a step that's even difficult, more difficult than that. Sometimes I meet somebody and dad is in the home, but you still got somebody that says, yeah, I grew up with a dad, but I didn't really know him. Now, I got news for you, dads. It's your responsibility and mothers to make sure that you have a relationship with your children. Swallow your pride. Humble yourself. They hurt me, Pastor. Well, we hurt Jesus, but he forgave us. You don't know what they did. They got pregnant out of wedlock. They crushed my dream. Well, as far as I see it, all sin is sin. Don't throw away your family relationship because you're waiting for your kid to apologize. You go over there and fall down on their feet and tell them you love them. You restore that relationship. You do whatever it takes. Here's the problem. We've got saved people. And we believe that God is our Father because we've been saved, but we don't take the time to get to know him. Most people think that God is a God of, he's like a law enforcement officer. If I do good, I'll be rewarded. If I do bad, I'm going to be punished. And so most Christians live with this tremendous pressure that, hey, I gotta please him or he's going to beat me. I got to please him or I got to do this. And they live under this bondage. Let me tell you something. Our God is not a cop. He's the God of all grace. You know, it didn't take long for my kids to figure out my wife and I as far as dad and mom. If my kids want to drink soda for dinner, they come and ask me. They know. If they want to eat a candy bar, if they want potato chips, if they want something before dinner, ask dad. They know if they want to get away with something, ask dad. There are certain things they ask mom, especially the girls. If they want to buy something, they're going to ask mom. They're not going to ask me. It's funny how your kids kind of learn. Yeah, I got tired of being played like that, so I started responding like this. Go ask your mother. If you say go ask your father, and I'll say go ask your mother, and we'll figure out. But you know, they kind of know when it's safe to ask us something. Dad, you had a good day? So far? Hey, Dad, would you like a drink of water? Would you like a Coke or something? Yeah, I sure would. Hey, Dad, you look handsome today. Where are we going with this? You got to sign this piece of paper. What is it? It's my spelling test. Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. But they learn how to approach me. Now, I got news for you. I love my kids. And I want them to feel able to approach me at all times. Where did I learn that from? I learned that from the Heavenly Father. You approach God based on how you think he feels. Let me tell you something. God doesn't have good and bad days. He is unchanging God. You don't have to approach him based on your behavior. You approach him based on his love, his mercy, his grace. We've got him like it's some kind of cop waiting there and just waiting there to judge to just cream me. And we don't know him. We don't know that he hurts when we hurt. We don't know that he wants the best in life for us. We don't know that he how much he cares. I want to stop and say this. Not everybody in this room is God your Father. Galatians chapter 3, verse number 26 says that only God is your Father if you've been born again. Pastor, we're all God's children. No, we aren't. If you sit right there and you think we are all God's children, would you listen to this preacher? You're doctrinally not right. You probably have never been born again. Because nobody that's been born again would ever say we are all God's children. The Bible clearly says that the only people that are God's children are people that have deposited their faith in Jesus Christ. You can know God. You can love God. You can know that He died. You can believe that He's good. You can believe all of that. But you don't become His child until you are born again. People are so deceived there. We are children, and God is our Father, and He is the great Father. Look at verse number 3, or let me give you the third point. Verse number 11, it says, "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father, which is in heaven, give what? Good." Third thing you better remember is not only are you a child, not only is God our Father, but let's remember God is good. God is good. His goodness is evidenced in two ways. Number one, He loves and He gives. Nobody that is good cannot, you have to give. Selfishness is the opposite of goodness. Selfishness is evidence that there's no goodness there. But our God is the good God. Because God is good, He'll never give you anything that is evil. Sometimes we think that God is against us when unpleasant things happen, but God is our Father and He'll never give us anything that's evil. Look, if you would, at verse number 9. "What man is there of you whom his son asks bread will give him a stone? And if he wants a fish, you'll give him a serpent." Not all dads are good. You may have grown up with a dad who wasn't good. You may have grown up with a dad that threw stones and gave you serpents. But I got news for you. Our God, who is our Heavenly Father, is a good God. And because He is good, He gives good gifts. See, the problem is, we think we know what goodness is. Give me what I want. I'm telling you, I need that job. I'm telling you, this is how I see it. And we think in our mind that we are able to determine good and evil. That's like your kid telling you as the parent that they know what's best for the home. If my son came in my house and told me he knew what was best for the home, I would send him to meet Jesus Christ. And then, because we don't think that God gave to us what we deem to be good, therefore God is not good. But the only kind of gift God gives is good gifts. It's the theme of the whole Bible. He gives you things that will bless you beyond measure. My friends, we are children of a Father who not only loves us, but keeps His eye on us. He'll never give us anything evil. He never leads us astray. And number four, He never makes a mistake. He never makes a mistake. He gives you things that are perfect in His understanding. And that's what Jesus is trying to teach these folks. Trust the Father. Trust His goodness. Trust His knowledge. trust his understanding of you and your life and what he has made you and how he has made you. Trust in the fact that he only gives good gifts. Therefore, if God doesn't give you something, it's not good for you. We want to say, you're a liar. You don't know me. You know I need this. Why can't you do this? Why can't you let me have this? Everybody else gets it. Why not me? Because it's not good for you. Well, I don't think that's fair. Listen, the last thing you want is God to treat you fair. If God treated you fair, you'd go to hell. And I would be right there beside you. But God gives us good, and God withholds things from us. Have you ever been down a road and made a prayer and then look back and say, thank you, God, for not answering that prayer? How do you know if you would have had a child, you wouldn't have died? How do you know if you wouldn't have been married, you'd have been beat beyond recognition? How do you know if you wouldn't have got all of that money that you wouldn't have spent it and drove yourself straight into a wickedness? How do you know if you'd have got that job, it wouldn't have destroyed you? We're children. We're not God. We need instruction. He is perfect. And he loves me. He cares for me. He says, Tom, all I want to do is give you good things, buddy. I don't make mistakes. I've made mistakes as a father. Horrible mistakes. I've let my kids have something when they shouldn't have. There used to be a phrase, that's too much car for a young man. You remember that? My dad didn't believe that. He gave me a Volkswagen Rabbit diesel that barely had three wheels. That wasn't too much car for me. Give them some rope and let them. See, sometimes as a dad, we make mistakes. And here's if this doesn't define our understanding, the choices we make come from what we perceive to be good. Therefore, I'm going to do this because I perceive it to be good. You're not God. That's why Jesus said, ask, seek, knock. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and him that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened unto him. You know how you face the future. Pastor, what am I supposed to ask for? You ask for the good things of God. You ask for the perfect will of God. You seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. You're persistent in obeying and walking with him. And the concentration of your life is that I'm saved and that I'm spirit-filled and that I'm serving the Lord. And God, you bring to me those things that are good. You provide for me. And God, if I'm making a prayer and it's contrary to the will of you, then not my will, but thy will be done. Because you're good. Because you're good. When I was 16 years old, the football coach knocked on my dad's door from our public school. He said, are you Tommy's dad? Yes, sir. He said, I seen Tommy in the park, and Tommy can throw a football. Don't laugh, I could. He said, I know the boys go to the Christian school. He said, but why don't you let Tommy come play football for me? I'll start him his senior year. He could help us and it'll be neat. Man, did I want to play football. I'd grown up in a small Christian school my whole life. We kind of lived a little bit of a separated life as far as because I went to school 54 miles one way from my house. I didn't know the kids too much. I guess when you're a kid, you want to be recognized. You want to fit in. My dad looked that man in the face, and my dad said, sir, with all due respect, my son's not going to go to that school system. He's going to go here. My dad closed the door on that. As a senior in high school, I freaked out on my dad. And I know what it is to be angry at your dad. And I know what it is to say things under your breath. I know what it is to rage like that. And I'm sure you do too. Every bit of that happened in my life. So I went to school my senior year mad. Oh, was I mad. And I held it against him. And I never forget the first day of soccer practice. I didn't say bad words and cuss words, but I let them rip that day. My kids better be home. I think they came to first service. I hope so. I began to go a different direction. And God began to discipline me. And I almost destroyed my life. I would not be standing here had God not intervened. I went on to Bible college, and I didn't go because I wanted to go peacefully. I went just for whatever reason. But God got a hold of my life. And I surrendered my life to the Lord in that time. I thought I knew what was good. I thought good would be my first game of my basketball season. I scored 41 points. For the first time in our area, a Christian school had beat a public school. We were on the news, and I was on the news. I had those feminine shorts we used to wear, guys, that were... My kids see that today and they puke. Walking out of that gymnasium, a guy said to me, he said, you know, you may not be able to play Division I, but you could probably go to a school and play ball. But I knew God had put ministry on my heart. And I knew I was going a contrary direction. And I almost destroyed my life. If I would have went to that public school, I would not be married to the woman I was married to. I would not have the children. I would not be your pastor. And I think I would have been destroyed. It's not against public school. I'm just telling you something my dad did. But my dad took me one day in my anger. And he said, Tommy, he said, you may not understand now. He said, but one day you will look back and you will be glad for what I have done. I look back today and I say, thank you, Dad. Thank you, Dad. Sometimes we think we know what we want. And God says, you don't know what you want. It's not good for you. So I'm going to hold it. And I think God thinks one day they'll thank me for this. But the problem is we rage so bad that we never yield ourselves. We don't trust Him. And we destroy our lives. And we destroy our lives. All Jesus is teaching them here is, trust the Father. He loves you. And He's trustworthy. Ask Him. Seek Him. Knock on Him. He'll show you the way. His way is perfect. Shall we pray?